Let me switch into a even larger and more important thing, because and then I'll come back to the, is that sort of the icing on the cake? I'm particularly intrigued to follow the dialogue right now because, for, like it or not, we now have $34, $35 oil. And there is a deep-seated sense by many of our leading economists in the world that $30 oil and recession are Siamese twins, and that it's a destructively high price for oil. And the OPEC countries, and then I thought a lot about this having just come back from a week in Saudi Arabia. The OPEC countries are being lectured all the time of now you guys need to remember, don't be greedy. And or you're going to kill the goose that lays the golden egg. Because what you really need to do is bring oil prices down to 15 or 20, and then our economies will be healthy. So this doesn't matter whether it's 15 or 20 euro or 15 or $20. That's kind of in the noise at the margin. And conversely, the various leading authorities within OPEC, particularly in the last 2 or 3 years, have quite passionately spoken out about the urgent need to create a fair and stable price for energy that works for both the consumer and the producer. And because if the producer doesn't get enough, the risk is that they don't basically continue to spend enough to keep supply going, and then we really have a problem. And as I hear this conversation going on, I hear Dr. Lukman, who's been Secretary General of OPEC, and now he's the Nigerian Petroleum Minister, or Ali Naimi, who I visited with last week, who's the Petroleum Minister of Saudi Arabia, speak out on, and they're cautious to not be become harsh in their language, but I translate it into the gross hypocrisy of the OECD of lecturing OPEC about watch that you don't actually get oil priced up too high when they can't even balance their budget. When in fact, the price of the OECD countries charge their consumer has 2 to 3 times more tax added on top of the wellhead price. And what the OPEC countries are saying in desperation is, if you think the price is too high, lower the tax. But we have to have a price high enough to balance our budget and high enough to be able to spend enough money to make sure we have our supply there. So you have, again, Mr. A talking to Mr. B. And then in America, we go on and on and on about the fact that our economy needs $20 oil or $15 oil to be vibrant. And let me tell you how wrong that is. In the best data that we have around, which is 99 so far, I haven't seen any good data for total, you can guess at the number in it, but is that the total residential energy bill, exclusive of motor gasoline, which I'll come to in a minute, in 1999 totaled about $140 billion. I think it was 135, divided by 110 million households. That's about $1,350 per household. That's obviously a lot of money. But let me tell you some of the other things we spend money on in the United States. That same year, we spent $165 billion on recreation and sports. Going to movies, going to football games, we spent $150 billion on alcohol and tobacco. We spent $205 billion on consumer advertising, most of which is never seen. So say you add those three up, which are things we could do away with if we had to, whereas you can't do away with energy. Well, I just identified a pool of $515 billion that we could reallocate if we had to basically make sure that we had enough money for energy. Now, another phenomenal real statistic. is I mentioned that that's the residential bill for energy other than motor gasoline. It turns out that about 45% of the residential, of the personal energy bill is motor gasoline. And 55% is what you spend in the residence for your heat and power. Life. In motor gasoline, remarkably, in 2001, we had 2 months that both hit 20-year records in the same year. In May, we had a 20-year high of $1.81. This is with tax included, per gallon. In December, we had a 20-year low, $1.20. Now, $1.20 was so low that it would have destroyed the refineries. So it's really a phony price. But if you take the delta between a 20-year high and a 20-year low, it just happens to be 61 cents. And if you look at the U.S. consumption statistics, we happen to use 600 gallons per vehicle. Well, 600 times 61 cents just happens to be $366 a year savings, if you could keep that low, or incremental if you the high. That happens to conveniently be a dollar a day. Do you know how much you can buy for a dollar a day in the United States? Going to a 7-Eleven store sometime, and you can't buy a single thing at Starbucks, just interesting. You can buy 4.5 cigarettes. It's really hard to spend a dollar a day. And yet, serious economists seriously believe that one price destroys the economy and the other price is an elixir to the economy. And I look at that and I say, I wonder if these people ever spend any time doing numbers. So the whole issue of what do we really know about the cost of energy is a bizarre cause. The very last evening that I was in Riyadh, last Wednesday night, one of the senior economists of our United States embassy there we were chatting at this dinner, and he said that he'd recently read a report that $19 was sort of the break-even mark, that below $19 it was really hard to justify drilling for oil, and over $19 the economics seemed to work. And he said, does that number make any sense to you? And I said, no. He said, why? I said, well, we don't have any idea, you know, what we really need to spend to create the energy we need over the next 10 years. And $19 is $19 per barrel. What it's the equivalent of, and then I use the example of this building. I said, have you been to Houston? I said, oh yeah, that's it. So it turns out this building is actually the most expensive building ever built in Houston, Texas. It was actually built, it's kind of a monument to $100 oil that we thought we were gonna have. And one of my favorite examples is how much this building cost. And when I asked the guy, I don't know. I said, well, in fact, it costs 7 cents a square foot. And he looked at me and said, well, that's obviously wrong. I said, no, it's actually right. He said, okay, I give. What's your gimmick? And I said, well, the building actually cost about a little over $300 a square foot. It was an expensive building. But what I've done is taken an estimated 25-year life and divided it into the cost and given it in a square foot per day. Now, the number doesn't mean anything. First of all, if that's all you ever spend on the building, by 2003, we wouldn't have any tenants, because it would be. So, but that's little your $19 a barrel. And what we really need to do as a society is figure out how much energy we need to add over the next 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, and think of it in terms of a, you know, 2 million square foot building. And before you start telling someone how much the rent's gonna be, figure out how much the building's gonna cost you. At least estimate it, maybe even get some bids, and then figure out what rent would I have to charge to basically get a fair return on my investment. And if it turns out it's $19 a barrel, terrific. If it's $28.10, if it's $42.17, If you don't know that, you don't have any idea what future energy will cost. That's the biggest missing mark. So it really doesn't matter whether we're talking about euros or dollars. Far bigger cost is, do we have any idea what future energy costs even need to be to make sure we actually have sustainable and reliable energy?